Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, and in this daily editorial we are getting an update from Silvercrest Metals, traded on the TSX under the symbol SIL, and on the NYSE under the symbol SILV, chatting with the president, Chris Ritchie. Now Chris, I want to start off by recapping news that came out on April 15th. The company announced infill and expansion drill results from actually a number of different areas on this Las Chispas property. Can you break down some of the key numbers here? Because some of the grades that we saw, very high grade silver and silver equivalent intercepts over decent widths too. So give us a little recap of all of these results, please.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I think the big thing here is people have heard me, you know, ramble on about our strategy of get to cash flow as quickly as we can and grow from there, or that our feasibility study was a good enough study, meaning good enough to raise the money and good enough to stop the dilution, really. But if people recall that in varying categories of resources, we've got about 40 million ounces at over a kilo. And Bobby Vista's splay, with the news release that you mentioned, this was a vein that was originally discovered after the cutoff date for our feasibility study. So in the resources, we ended up having 13.9 million ounces at about 2 kilos. And this news release was talking about the infill drilling we were doing on those particular 13.9 million ounces. So you saw the widths come down a little bit, but you saw the grade go from about 2 kilos to 2.7 kilos on average. So net, what makes its way to the mill, you can maybe, it's in the ballpark of being in that 2 kilo range. But the most impactful thing about these particular tons and ounces that we think we have here is that it's within about 200 meters of our existing underground development. So in the production profile we have today, year one is 14 million ounces, and some of that comes from the stockpile. We use some tax deductions coming from the CapEx in year one, and then years two and three. But if these particular ounces and tons can make their way into a feasibility study or a particular mine plan, the goal here would be to remove some lower grade material and replace it with these potential tons and ounces, and maybe you get a little lift in the production profile. So the big push for us on that standpoint is we've already got a really robust production profile over the first, 8.5 years. But if the first 3 years can be optimized, which is our strategy to do so, that little bump, or hopefully bigger bump, we might be able to get in the free cash flow really becomes a juicy prize for investors in that standpoint. So, for example, if the first 3 years are incrementally improved from these ounces making their way into a mine plan, and again, all work that needs to be done, if that's the case, what you're really getting is, those first few years plus the year and a half or so before we really ramp up, that's about 4.5 years of additional drilling to really scale out this project. So, I chuckle sometimes when I talk to convert bond investors or some, fixed income investors, to really highlight, what that free cash flow profile might look like for us at lower prices compared to our peers. And at higher prices, as well as if we're able to make some of these adjustments from these ounces. So that's really the crux of our strategy, was really to try to get more clarity on these ounces, these very, very high grade ounces, and let's do our best to get them into the mine plan. And, from an underground development perspective, when I mentioned they're about 200 meters away, it's about $1 million of cost. For us to spend $1 million in underground development, we can go get those. So it doesn't take much time, doesn't take a lot of money. But if we can get these ounces into a mine plan in the first 1, 2, 3 years of the production profile, that's a real big push for us.
So some of the grade from the splay zone, over 14 kilos of silver equivalent over about 2.25 meters. Fine. Yes, if you can put this in the early part of the mine life, that definitely helps out economics. What more work is going to be needed for you to actually get this into the mine plan then?
Well, we're almost done the infill drilling. The press release outlined about 90% of that was complete. I think we're highly confident that these ounces would be economic. The cost to go get them is obviously negligible. It's putting them in a mine plan. And, you know, from what we would know internally versus the rules and requirements for us to make it official is a little bit different, right? There's certain things you have to go through. So, I mean, we're doing that work. And I think from what I've outlined so far, it's not a very challenging decision for us to decide to do that. So I think there's a high degree of confidence that that's going to be a big push right now. And that's the nice thing about us having the balance sheet is that we can make these changes and we can be flexible with our strategy. And that's a strategy that we've had from day one. So, you know, that's the big push. There was some continuity increase between the Bobby Vista area and the Granaditas area. There's some nice high grade hits in and around there. There's some information we're getting, you know, in the faulting zone that's giving us confidence. And this is where our exploration team gets really excited, whereas some of the things we're learning about the way the deposit's oriented, you can apply to other veins. So some of the things we're doing now is then sort of, this happened over here. That makes some sense. Let's try it over there. And it's just poking around the edges of the stuff we already have, you know, add 500,000 ounces here, 1,000,000 ounces there, hopefully a bit more. This is all the stuff that is in and around that current infrastructure. So if you think about the first, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we're doing our best to make sure that we can put the highest grade in sooner, you know, optimize what we currently have. And that's the stuff that's going to have the greatest impact. So all underway, all things that we, you know, had in the strategy and all were things that we almost contemplated delaying the feasibility study for just to get this information in. But again, we wanted to get going and get towards construction.
So, Chris, do any of these new high-grade results impact the timing of that decision of when to move into construction because of the fact that you can still tinker with that mine plan?
Well, we're in construction. And so far, everything's on time, on budget. I mean, some of that earthwork started in October, and that's a real big advantage to get that going underway. If you start to slip on schedule and cost and, you know, aligning contractors early on, it just cascades in the wrong direction. And so far, we're really happy to say that everything's progressing very nicely on that front. We're supposed to be ramping up into production, you know, late Q2 next year. So we're hustling away. You know, we joke that we made a construction decision, you know, along the feasibility study, but we've been doing underground development for almost 2 years. We hope to have 9 months of stockpile sitting on the ground when we start production. So we're charging ahead. We're going. And I think that's the beauty of the type of vehicle we have is we can put out drill results like this while we're building, while we're moving towards that cash flow. But the production profile that we outlined in that feasibility study, we hope, and again, we got to prove that, but we hope that news like this makes that feasibility study already stale and that we can be continuing to grow, optimize, you know, bring forward that cash flow, all while reducing risk. And that's a big part of this right now. We've seen big volatility and money still flowing out of the space. But again, we keep ticking a lot of boxes on the risk front, very diligent on making sure those are front of mind, but we want to keep growing.
Now, Chris, how do you want people to view this story then as you move into or as you are in construction, then production by, let's say, the first half of next year, but then still all this exploration going on and all this continued expansion of known veins and even new veins? How do people view Silvercrest?
Well, first and foremost, like, there's a huge scarcity of really high grade, high quality assets, right? And one of the things that it affords us to do is to have a lot more defense than anyone else. We can all talk about what the world looks like at $40, $50 silver. But the way we look at it from a risk management standpoint is, you know, we've got, you know, next 2-3 years in the markets could be very strange. And that goes for, you know, your Tesla and your Google investments as well as the gold and silver one. We want people to look at Silvercrest and say, I can put my money here and I can park it. And I know that if gold and silver tank, this is going to be one of the better assets from a downside protection scenario. I mean, we have a payback of 1 year at $19 silver, right? So I want people to look at this and forget about it. And what they then pick up is time. And in the next 2-3 years, they get getting the cash flow, you know, the option value on what happens in the commodity price, us finding enough tons, you know, at Las Chispas or Picacho or and Picacho to give some visibility to that expansion scenario that we're talking about, to bring some of these new ounces into a mine plan, to bring forward that cash flow, to potentially be an M&A target or us to go buy assets and grow this thing and reduce risk for being a single asset company. So way above average defense is something that I think is very unique for us. And then given that drill program and the type of grade we have, way above average offense. So I think that, you know, for us to look at that now, we're done with the financings. Now it's just about, you know, there's not that much stock out there. And if and when gold and silver start to move or, you know, more drill results or people get excited, there's just not that much stock to get.
Fair enough. Well, it already has been a standout in the silver space, and you guys just keep on producing some very impressive drill results and economics. Let's talk about the silver sector as well, because I always like to get some macro comments from you in silver, also in gold too. When it comes to funds, money flowing out of the funds and into the sector, what have you seen for silver?
I had a friend send me a chart the other day that was talking about how the silver, gold and silver equities are near 25-year lows relative to the gold and silver price. So again, we've talked about this in the past, that the cyclicals, the commodities, are near 100-year lows relative to the broader market. But then within that, you're seeing the equities trading at, again, near 25-year lows relative to the gold and silver price. So negative outflows. I mean, right after we did our last financing, I think there was 29 days in a row of outflows into the ETF. So, I mean, good that we got our money, bad on the timing for investors. We're fighting back with close to deal terms here. But that money's been a huge puke out. But if you look at the technicals, if you love reading the tea leaves, you're seeing a breakout now in the GDXJ and the GDX. People talking about, like, technical analysts talking about this last washout being, you know, a big, huge re-entry point. The sector itself went from highest momentum sector to the lowest in Canada. So again, for people who are looking at entry points, it's really gotten interesting. So I think for people who are kind of wondering, and like I say, for the broader market, to be able to say, hey, you know what? Like, there's a reason to get interested here on a defensive scale, but also time for things to really bounce back. The one chart that I keep kind of referring to is the total quantity of dollars out in the system. Last year, 21% of all U.S. dollars ever created, you know, were thrown out, and then we're on pace to do more this year. I had another slide sent to me by a friend saying inflows to stocks over the last 5 months exceed those of the prior 12 years. So again, they're not flowing into precious metals, they're flowing into everything else. So again, this is a sector really beat up, really cheap. The equities are even cheap relative to the commodity price. So for us to be able to provide investors with a vehicle that can ride this out, pay back our capital in 1 year and grow like, hopefully like crazy during that time frame, all while moving towards cash flow. We're just trying to keep our head down and focused on that risk and focus on the growth.
All right. Well, Chris, I really appreciate the update. Again, following up on that news release that came out just earlier this month. It was actually April 15th when that news came out. So we will follow up as more news hits the market. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Chris, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Chris, thanks again for the update. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks so much.